This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company. For more information and links to all our great podcasts, visit hartmanmedia.com.
Welcome to The Commercial Investing Show, where we analyze, explain, and exploit the opportunities presented in today's commercial property marketplace. If you're interested in apartments, mobile home parks, self-storage facilities, and other income property, you've come to the right place. We'll explore what's hot and what's not in markets nationwide in the relentless pursuit of return on investment. Here's your host, Jason Hartman.
Welcome to the Commercial Investing Show. This is your host, Jason Hartman, where we discuss the relentless pursuit of ROI. Yes, that's right, return on investment and return on inflation. We have a changing future with monetary policy and fiscal policy the way it is, and we need to prepare for it as investors by structuring our transactions differently, and we will talk about that on this episode and future episodes, of course. So we will be back with a fantastic interview for you and a guest today in just less than 60 seconds. Stay tuned.
What's great about the shows you'll find on jasonhartman.com is that if you want to learn how to finance your next big real estate deal, there's a show for that. If you want to learn more about food storage and the best way to keep those onions from smelling up everything else, there's a show for that. If you honestly want to know more about business ethics, there's a show for that. And if you just want to get away from it all and need to know something about world travel, there's even a show for that. Yep, there's a show for just about anything. Only from jasonhartman.com. Or type in Jason Hartman in the iTunes store.
It's my pleasure to welcome Mark Falk to the show. He is the writer and co-producer of a documentary entitled The Wall Street Conspiracy, and he has some fantastic insights. He's already working on another documentary about the prison industrial complex, and I cannot wait till that one comes out. And it's a pleasure to have him coming to us from Oklahoma City today. Mark, welcome. How are you?
I am good. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's good to have you. So tell us about the Wall Street conspiracy. I mean, I don't think there are too many people left nowadays that doubt that Wall Street is a scam and it is a conspiracy. I hope there aren't many people that doubt that anymore. There used to be, but people, it's becoming pretty clear, I think. But, you know, what angles and areas do you really, you know, have difficulty with?
Well, I mean, frankly, when I got involved, and the thing that people need to understand about this was that in 2008, when our economy collapsed and Congress and everybody just looked stunned that there was corruption on Wall Street, they weren't stunned. They all knew about it. Everybody in Congress knew about it. They were, I'm going to say, mostly on the take in one way or another, you know, meaning Goldman Sachs was writing huge checks to their campaigns. Goldman Sachs had 15 people in the Bush administration, and believe it or not, they may have as many as 30 in the Obama administration. So there was no surprise there. And I think that people, what they need to understand is that this problem has been going on for a very long time. It didn't just happen overnight and everybody was shocked and stunned and taken by surprise by it. We were not blindsided by it. I mean, I was a guy sitting at a computer and I started covering naked short selling, which is a type of stock market fraud that's basically stock counterfeiting. In other words, they just, if you have a million shares of a stock that are out there floating around and being sold, they might sell 5 million in the scam. So they flood the market, collapse the stock, and create money by then turning in their chips at the end of that bet. I mean, that's a real simple analogy of how that works. But the truth is, that's just a symptom. That's just a way that they manipulate the market. And there's this interview in the film, in The Wall Street Conspiracy, and I don't even remember if it made the final cut, a guy named Bill Shea, who's, I think his grandfather was the one that Shea Stadium's named after. And he's a hedge fund manager. And he told me, he said, by the time Congress is allowed to, as if we give you permission, as the hedge funds, is allowed to implement reform we've already moved on to the next scam. So he said, it's like Congress is always the general fighting the last war. And even, and he said, and even worse than that, or better than that, if you're a hedge fund manager, we write the next scam into the middle of that legislation.
That is, that, you know, that is fascinating what you're saying. Elaborate on that. So, I mean, when you say that Congress basically, okay, so, you know, one scam is perpetrated on the public, mm-hmm. and lots of money, you know, hundreds of millions, billions, maybe over $1 trillion are essentially extracted from the unsuspecting public. And it's usually the middle class who bears the brunt of that. And as we saw last time, certainly some foreign countries and people in foreign countries too. You know, what, look at what happened in Iceland and so many other places. You know, no wonder so many of these foreign countries hate America. I mean, look at what our Wall Street does. This machine is this global, it's a global scam machine. It's not just the U.S. middle class. So the money is extracted, and then a law is created, because, of course, all the useless people in government, like Barney Frank, well, formerly in government, I should say, have to come in and fix the problem. Of course, they have zero experience in banking, obviously. But they come in and come to the rescue, and then the next scam is basically written into the law that solves the old scam. Tell us about, elaborate on that. Well, that's fascinating.
Exactly. That's what he said is, he said, you know, he said, why do you think we have 1,000-page reform bills? Why do you think? Because he said somewhere on page 400 and whatever, 52, right. 500, there's six words that are a loophole that open the door for the next thing that we want to do. So when you have naked short selling, if they're going to give up this idea that it's, and it started with little companies, that's what the film is about, started with little companies. I was covering it. Christina Copeland, who, this is her film company, Brown Saddle Films, that made the film. She decided to make this film. She connected up with a guy named Darren Sanders. He worked for Stratton Oakmont years ago, which just recently became the subject of the film The Wolf of Wall Street. So Darren gets involved in this, and he passed away from cancer about the time the film was finished. And this guy is one of those rogue national heroes, a Brooklyn guy. But he found out that there was fraud in Wall Street, and he became concerned about it before 2000. So while we're all sitting at home, he's out there by himself carrying a sign in front of the SEC, protesting in front of the NASDAQ and everything. And so he knew about this 15 years ago or longer. And he gets into it, and it starts out with them attacking little companies, what they call penny stocks. Easy to kill a little penny stock. You can take a little company, you can flood it, you can manipulate its stock price up and down to profit whatever bet you're making. But then it grew to companies like the next one would be Overstock.com. Patrick Byrne got involved in this crusade, and they trashed him. And called
I had Patrick Byrne on the show, yeah.
Yeah. Turned out he was right. His company was being attacked by Goldman Sachs and other naked short sellers. And then it went to the biggest companies, and then the economy collapsed, and all of a sudden Bear Stearns and people like that are saying, now they're devouring each other. And then the next thing you find out, Goldman Sachs is taking down the country of Greece with naked short selling. They're making bets with Greece and then rigging the game so that Greece loses and Goldman Sachs wins, that type of a thing. Well, now they've moved that fraud on to, first that they start packaging mortgages. And people would go in when they foreclosed, and you'd find out that your mortgage had been sold five times maybe. But not only that, sometimes four people showed up and thought they owned that mortgage. So we sold multiples of the mortgages just like we sell multiples of stock. And now they're packaging rental property because everybody's losing their homes. And they're selling these package rental properties. And I guarantee you they're selling them multiple times just like they did stock. So the scam just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And they just take what basically is the fact that you can't track electronic trading properly, because there's not a piece of paper that says I own this house or this stock or whatever.
Right, right. And it's even worse. I thought you were going to mention it, but what Wall Street is doing is they're now in the business of securitizing rental income.
Yes.
So instead of what they're doing is they're selling people the stream of income from rental properties. And there is going to be no possible way that an investor can know, number one, that the fund really owns the properties. Number two, you know, where that stream is coming from, when the property's vacant, when it's occupied, how much the tenant paid, you know, what repair issues were there, et cetera, you know, what management costs were there. I mean, there is just rife with fraud everywhere you look. And that's why I say, you know, I have 10 commandments for successful investing. And number three, which is one I talk about all the time, which is thou shalt maintain control. Be a direct investor. Stop giving your money to somebody else, because when you give it to someone else, you know, they one of three problems always happens. Sometimes it's all three at the same time. Mm-hmm. You know, the first one is you're investing with a crook. You know, we've certainly seen enough of that. Okay. The next one might be you're investing with an idiot. So there's enough incompetence out there too. But assuming they're honest and competent, they take these giant management fees off the top. They're just skimming the profits off the top of the deal.
That's right.
So that, you know, the investors don't get anything. Like, there's this company here in Phoenix where I live, and, you know, they basically are now pooling money, and they're buying up properties, and then they're getting investors to invest in them. Now, this has been done for years, and, you know, zillions of people have done it. But, you know, I know these people, okay, and I know they are the way they do business. And I mean, I wouldn't trust them with a 10-foot pole. You know, it's unbelievable. You know, you just know that. One of the people even said to me, you know, what do your clients think about investing in this deal they have? And I said, well, you know, my clients want real returns. You know, they want to make, you know, 10, 12, 20, 30, 40% on their investments. And you can do that in a real estate deal because it's multidimensional.
Sure.
But what they, you know, they said, well, you know, they don't, I said, they don't want to make 6 and 8%. Okay. And the guy says to me, his name was Jack. He says, well, I got tons of clients that'll settle for 6 or 8%. You know, I'm like, well, more power to you, because I know on those real estate deals, they're making a lot more than that. And they're not returning it to the investors.
Well, that's why. And on the front end, then they do things like package those together and move them on down the road. So they don't even care what happens that deal in the long run. And that's kind of what this film addresses, is it goes back to the beginning of how this fraud came to be. I mean, you can take it all the way back to, you know, them betting on whether Napoleon was going to win or lose, you know, the Rothschilds, maybe. And what made lots of money. So this is a time-honored tradition, you know, betting on success or failure. But they don't care. The idea that you invest in a company like you did years ago and it grows slowly, and 20 years later that stock has made you a millionaire, those days are almost gone. They're almost gone. They want to make their money quick, and they don't represent you and make a commission off of you becoming successful. They represent themselves, and they'll suck you dry just as quick as they'll suck dry everybody else that they're manipulating. And that's a fact.
Yep. You are darn right about that. So, are there any other examples you want to share of, you know, of the Wall Street conspiracy? Just any specific examples?
Well, there's some interesting things. Is that this is a thing that at least should have been fixed in 2008, and they did do what they call reform packages. But to this day, I had an email the other day of a company, and let me see if I can find the name of this company. It's called Mankind, and it's a little company. It's another, you know, they're on NASDAQ, though. MNKD is their trading symbol. And I'm not going to recommend this company or not recommend it, but it's a company that's still, here we are, you know, years later. We started trying to set up hearings with the Senate Banking Committee in 2005. I was involved in those. And here we are 10 years later, and they haven't done a thing to end this fraud. So you can Google naked short selling at any given time and find current articles that say the SEC is going to have a hard time, you know, taking care of naked short selling, they could end it today if they wanted to. And that's one of the points of the film. It could be ended today, except that Goldman Sachs owns the politicians and Wall Street owns the process. And they clear their own trades through the DTCC.
What, with, tell us about that. What's
with
the DTCC?
No oversight. So,
what's the DTCC?
It's the Depository Trust Corporation or Clearing Corporation.
Right.
And it's a big central weird beast that all of the trades, you buy a stock, it goes into the DTC, they issue the stock back out to you as being sold. But they do this thing called stock borrow, where if they don't have the stock, they just say that you have it. And then they go borrow it later. And that's part of how this. But the DTC doesn't have any oversight. It's owned collectively by the largest brokers.
Of course.
So their job is to clear and make sure properly all the trades are cleared.
But and engage in high frequency trading before that so they can skim more of the profits off. Yeah. It's just this is just unbelievable. I sometimes wonder, does this go on in other countries? You know, you would want to think that the U.S. is the cleaner of the different choices internationally in which to invest. But I don't know. I think it might be.
It goes on everywhere. I exposed in 2004 in Berlin one of the scams where they would go to Berlin and create fake accounts so they could manipulate stocks in America, and Canada did it before that. So they find these, and of course the Cayman Islands is famous for it, and Belize and Switzerland and Liechtenstein. There's all these places that are famous for where to launder and do these, you know. And that same guy, Bill Shea, describes in the film how he's like, I can take the stock, I can buy it in London, I can clear it through Germany, I can run it through Switzerland. And by the time it gets back to you, you have no idea whether there's any real stock or not, because I ran it through five different places. You lost me about three countries ago. So it is a national thing. It's not just America. But we are, as the capitalist, you know, center of the universe, we are the center of where the corruption is based. I mean, sadly enough. I mean, you think of the DTC as just being like the Federal Reserve. You think it should be controlled by the government and owned by the government, but it isn't. It's its own private, profitable enterprise, and it just helps to cloak and dagger and put all of this behind a curtain so that it's secret. So you don't know. If you buy a stock to this day, you don't know if you own it. You just have no clue if you own it, unless you have in your hand to this day a actual, you know, certificate for that stock.
Yep. You know. And I think, I mean, even Disney doesn't do stock certificates anymore, I hear. So there are no stock certificates. You know, the money isn't real. The stocks aren't real. It's all fiat money. It's all a form of fiat money. Fiat meaning just by authority, you know.
That's right.
It's not legitimate.
Yeah.
Well,
to this day, there are companies that are still fighting this same fight. And Mankind, you know, which is a medical company and has come up with a Frezra. It's a Frezza, I believe it's called. It's an inhalant for diabetics. And it's been approved and it's doing very well in the process, you know. But then their company's getting attacked. So they may destroy the company, possibly, you know, hopefully not, before this product that diabetics could use instead of taking insulin shots five times a day, you use an inhaler. They don't care. They'll attack that company just like they'll attack Overstock or anybody else. Doesn't mean anything to them.
It's these people have no concept of morality and ethics. They are vultures. They are disgusting, disgusting people. And it is unbelievable the way they, you know, they ruin companies that would otherwise do good things for the world. And, you know, I mean, I've covered so many of these issues and so many of these cycles on, you know, hundreds and hundreds of episodes. It's just beyond the beyond. How are we ever going to fix any of this stuff? Is the pendulum ever going to swing back?
Oh, dear Lord. Well, As I've been involved in the prison industrial complex stuff, and that spills over, of course, into the militarization of the police and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The thing I'm seeing is because that one's such a direct type of pain, you know, it's painful when you lose your house, but it's very direct when I throw you in prison. You know, it's sad, but it's just a matter of directness. So there's a backlash starting to happen. And I hope that you've seen, of course, like Ferguson, we filmed up there for a little bit. Those people are angry, and they're angry because there's been 150 years of oppression and racism and horrible things happened to them, and they've been held down. Well, everybody needs to be that angry, and it will literally have to be the demand of the people that will begin to create change. You know, Occupy Wall Street did a pretty good job of at least making us talk about the subjects. And of course, then they were attacked and beat up on because they don't want you to know all that stuff, you know. But it is going to take the people being angry, because otherwise we will never get the influence of money out of politics. That's where it starts. It starts with, you know, corporations are not people. You should not be able to put, if you're Goldman Sachs, unlimited amounts of money into an election and just buy the election. And they do it every day. But somehow that is the very beginning. Get the money out of politics, and that won't happen unless people rise up and actually begin to put in candidates and vote in candidates who aren't corrupted. Prove that the money isn't the end-all be-all of getting elected or running government or buying influence in our society. That's the only way to fix it.
You know what I think has to happen? I think we need to see a real secession happen. And if there is a real secession where like-minded people move to, say, Texas, for example, that would be, you know, probably a pretty good candidate.
You could see them doing that.
And you see them doing it, and they secede, and, you know, it'll be interesting and scary to see if our federal government rolls tanks in there and, you know, makes a war out of it, or if they just will let it happen. And you know, people get to govern themselves, and
they won't let it happen. Yeah. They will roll tanks in there, and you know the MRAPs that all of the police departments now have.
The police are the new military. I mean, I thought it was part of our founding fathers' original intent that, you know, the military not be allowed to have any sort of presence, you know, in force against its own citizenry on U.S. soil. But all they did is they just militarized the police. I mean, what the heck does a sheriff's department need a tank for? You know, this is insanity what is going on. I mean, these cops are like, you know, they are like, you know, they look like complete militarized. I mean, you know, what are they expecting? What are they planning for?
It's about control, and that goes back to money too, and it's always a profit motive. In this case, the wars are winding down. The defense contractors, they used to say, we'll give you surplus things with this 1033 thing that they allow. You know, if you're a police department, you can get a free tank, basically just free. And it was supposed to be surplus equipment, and it included grenade launchers and
all kinds
of. But now, well over a third of that are rolling off the assembly line. So now it's just defense contractors milking the system to feed the police departments with free toys paid for by taxpayer money to then be used against those same taxpayers as a militarized police department. And the funny thing is that sounds like we're now off topic, but we're not. It all ties together. It all
okay.
ties
so together. Tell the listeners how it ties together.
Well, it's a very scary but kind of simple thing. And that's that if you're the Koch brothers, one of the richest families in the world, or the Waltons, you know, who own Walmart, or you're Goldman Sachs, or you're these people who control everything, you have to have control of the people. You have to have a way, because I used to say that the way they always did it in the past was corporations squeezed us and then they let us go. You know what I mean? We've always had this thing, but they let the middle class exist. So you got the feeling that they weren't going to kill us, you know. But around 2000, and I would say around 6 or 7, I started saying, I wrote a book called The Naked Truth. And you can Google my name and find it. It's on Amazon or whatever. But around then, I started saying that it felt like the final money grab. Like, they didn't even give a crap whether they collapsed the economy, because they're then going to make money shorting the economy that they collapse.
Oh, I know. They make
money.
They're going
to buy all the
yeah.
homes at bargain basement prices and buy all of the, you know, and they're going to just keep making money off of you until you're so broke that you go out and sell marijuana, and then they're going to put you in prison.
Yep.
But because they're pushing so hard, and because you can make money off of people going to prison and asset forfeiture if you're a police department, and giving products to the police on taxpayers' money if you're a defense contractor, they need that, because I'm telling you, there will be an uprising based on what they're doing to you on Wall Street, mm-hmm. what they're doing to you with your mortgages, what they're doing to you with student loans, not paying a living wage, all these things that they've done to you, privatizing the world. At some point, there will be an uprising, and they're already planning for it. And that may sound like a conspiracy, but look at the numbers and look at the tanks and look at the MRAPs and look at how much they've milked and sucked us dry. At some point, we're going to say, no, enough is enough. And Ferguson is going to look like, you know,
a big deal,
you know, compared to what could happen nationally. When that happens, watch those MRAPs and those riot police and those militarized police departments come rolling out in the streets. Because I've already seen it. We filmed it 2 weeks ago.
Yep.
We stood 3 feet away from 70 police officers in riot gear ready to bust heads. And it was kind of frightening.
Yeah.
Filming, you know, so it all ties together. It's about control.
It does. Control. You know what the bright spot is, though? The bright spot is technology and mobility. And people are much more mobile than they've ever been. And people are talking, and we've had this huge democratization, at least for the time being, until they figure out the kill switch. To talk about this kind of stuff. And let me tell you, when I was given seminars, 7 years ago, 10 years ago, people did not understand, because I talk a lot about monetary policy to my real estate investor clients, and people did not really understand broadly the scam of fractional reserve banking and Wall Street and the Federal Reserve and so forth. But now, let me tell you, you walk down the street and you talk to, the person at a fast food restaurant, the guy fixing the air conditioner, and people know about this stuff.
Yeah,
the cat is out of the bag, thankfully, So that, that gives me some cause for hope. It really does.
It does. Well, and to that, and I can do this in a sentence, the thing that is exposing it is not the mainstream media. It's people like yourself. It's people like me. It's people on Twitter. It's people on Facebook. It's the only thing we found that the police feared in Ferguson was people like us with movie cameras rolling. That's the only thing that made them think twice about just going ahead and busting heads out there. And you feel like, God, we're holding you at bay. We're messing up your party right now because we're filming you. And it goes, they live stream it. And like you said, that's the internet, and that's a electronic media who really are kind of feeding this mini revolution that appears to be brewing right now, So we do have that going for us. We there is hope.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, Mark, give out your websites and tell people where they can learn more about you and the film.
Okay, it's The Wall Street Conspiracy, and if you go to thewallstreetconspiracy.com, the film is available through DVD. It's also, you can see it on the pay-per-view on Amazon and on any of the various, pay-per-view sites. You can watch it there, so you can rent it for the day or whatever and watch it. You can, as I said, buy the DVD. It's The Wall Street Conspiracy. You just type that in. It'll take you straight to the website, which will link you to it. There's a great little trailer on there about it. And I would tell everyone to watch this. It's been out for about 3 years now or a little longer. But what's crazy is each day it appears to be more relevant than it was the day we made it. And I'm proud of you know, my my involvement in that, and I'm excited about the next project we're working on. And what's funny is Goldman Sachs is now so well known that now when I'm talking about CCA, which is a private prison company, I describe them as the Goldman Sachs of private prisons. So we have all done a pretty good job of starting to expose this massive fraud that still exists. That's what I want to tell everybody. The day that film ends and when you get to the last minute, the ending hasn't changed. The fraud still exists.
Oh, and it's only getting bigger. That's the reality. Exactly. Yeah, yeah, good. Well, Mark Falk, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Here's your chance to catch up on all of those Creating Wealth shows that you've missed. There's a 3-book set with shows 1 through 60, all digital download. You save $94 by buying this 3-book set. Go ahead and get these advanced strategies for wealth creation. For more details, go to jasonhartman.com. This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company, all rights reserved. For distribution or publication rights and media interviews, please visit www.hartmanmedia.com or email media@hartmanmedia.com. Nothing on this show should be considered specific personal or professional advice. Please consult an appropriate tax, legal, real estate, or business professional for individualized advice. Opinions of guests are their own, and the host is acting on behalf of Platinum Properties Investor Network, Inc., exclusively.